I have 7 o'clock here, everyone. Good evening and welcome to the Minnesota OA How live meeting. My name is Chris. I am a compulsive overeater and your leader for this meeting. This meeting, yes?
Hello.
Yes?
Just said hello. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you receive to participate in this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe, and by its nature, very visual. We want to welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, which is mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you are not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or tool via our meetings live chat. Only 2 hour OA House sponsors share on tools. We do this so we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Monday and Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself? Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read what is how?
Hi, my name's Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Thank you. How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life? Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in how sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive eater.
Hi, Jane.
Welcome.
The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own, not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive eater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. Pass.
Thanks, Jane.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Hello. This is Michelle C. I'm compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. The how concept. Overeaters Anonymous. how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accept the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our 12 traditions are necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and the love that these ideals offer will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us. And that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, and further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offer us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our life. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understand him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Welcome, Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the doctor's opinion in the big book, XXVI, paragraph 2, if a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he or she does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. That's from The Family Afterwards, the Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And I pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Excerpt from
Hi, Debbie.
Welcome. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we had been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. These worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned, along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, and some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right, as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. And I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
Hi, I'm Julie B. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome.
Thank you. How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living that demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find God now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery.
Yes.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Megan.
Welcome. Hi, Megan.
Hi. Okay. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Charlotte. I'm a compulsive overeater. I can.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte.
Welcome,
Charlotte.
Hey. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Hi. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
No way.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? I'm sorry, who was the timekeeper? Sharon? Thank you, Sharon. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I am a compulsive overeater from Minnesota.
Hi, Carrie. Carrie. Welcome.
Welcome.
201, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except for sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of a disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food in our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate the food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call our sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions, so there's no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We measure using a cup, spoon, and scale. Okay, so I don't have a manual scale. I'm sorry. I think it's behind some toilet paper in my pantry. So I apologize for that. If someone needs help with their manual scale, give me a call later. I can probably dig it out. We use a scale. I use a digital scale. I became obsessed with these when I first started the program. So I have like 5 of them. But I just basically use one, and I just it's actually not this one, but it works just fine. And the cool thing about it is you can put your plate on there. So I put my vegetables on there. I put my meat, and then I tear it out. And I had no idea what tear meant when I first started the program. So then I put my vegetables on, I tear it out. I put my meat on, I tear it out. And then I put whatever other stuff I have in there that I have for my meal that I need to weigh. We also use cups and spoons. So measuring cup and teaspoon for like oil or peanut butter or whatever you eat. So with the measuring cup, we get everything inside the cup. We get nothing on the outside of the cup. And somebody in this meeting said that if they had stuff on the outside, they just wiped it off with a paper towel. Well, that's, I guess, if you can find paper towels now. But yeah, so that's what I do too, is I take a paper towel and I wipe off the outside. And then that way I know whatever is in here is mine. And I know it's pretty clear. And I also do that with my teaspoons. Like if I have butter, if I'm scooping out butter or something, what I do is I have, I take a knife and I scrape it off the top, and then I take a napkin and wipe off the edges. So I make sure I don't get any extra. And then I found these little mini spatulas. These things are a godsend. I love these things. So I stick my spatula in there and everything inside is me or is mine. And if it's inside and it's on the spatula, I can actually still lick the spatula, which is something that for some reason is very exciting for me. But it's only the stuff that was inside that I can lick off, nothing on the outside. Okay, so we also use a telephone. So we talk into our telephone and I make call to my sponsor in the morning. And then I make a 3 phone calls to 3 other how members. And then I also, my sponsee calls me. So we talk to quite a few people during the day, which has been a godsend because with all the stuff going on right now, man, it's sure nice to talk to somebody. I live by myself and my cat would probably get pretty sick of me talking to her. I think she really wants me to go back to work because, man, I am interrupting her sleep. Okay, so we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week when we're on maintenance. Unless advised by the doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. This is super easy. This is a Nalgene bottle, which is 32 ounces. So I just fill this 2 times a day, and then I know that I have enough water. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients level. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It's not the extra string bean that counts, but it's the decision to take it. So I guess I'm supposed to talk 3 minutes now about the toolkit. I was really annoyed when I had to start using the toolkit, and it was overwhelming to me. It felt like a full-time job when I first started using the toolkit and everything in it. But now that it's gotten a lot easier, it still takes me longer, but it also took me a long time driving to the drive-thru of a restaurant and eating at a restaurant. So really, like, I think it all evens out what the time that it takes me now or the time that it would take me to drive through fast food. So, I got annoyed and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but really it's become a comfort because there's no guessing. I don't have to guess anymore. So I have a lot of monkey brain in my head that goes on, but food is something that I don't have monkey brain anymore about because I don't have to question what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. And if I do have a question, I don't have to make the decision. What happens is my sponsor makes the decision for me, or other sponsors in the program make the decision for me. And I'm all about other people deciding what I can and cannot do. Like it just makes my life a lot easier. I can follow directions. I grew up in a dictatorship, not a democracy. So taking direction is something I can do pretty well. My sponsor may think otherwise, but it just is such a relief to have the toolkit and be able to use it. So even though it was annoying in the beginning, it's definitely great to use now. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Sponsorship.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi,
Kelly.
Hi, welcome. Can you hear me though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes?
Yes, we can hear
you. Sorry, I have dual screens going on here. So hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in Southern California.
Kelly.
Hi, guys. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all 3 levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor that has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and mediations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive to not only what the new person is saying, but also what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string being that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that will result in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, telephones, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So, Kelly,
this your video is sideways. So if you want to turn it, turn yourself. Oh. There you go. Thank you.
Okay. I thought I left the meeting. Am I? You can still see me?
Yep, you look good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So sponsorship. I think I've only pitched on sponsorship once, but I jumped on it just to put myself out of my comfort zone. And honestly, the only reason I sponsored was because I had to, and it's the only way I get to keep what I've been given, and I want what I have. This is the first time I've ever had the three-legged stool, which I mentioned, the spiritual, physical, and emotional growth. So that was kind of like, that's my ticket to keep this. And they say we're not able to keep what we don't give back. So right there, I was able to sign up for service, although I had a slow start in HOW going through several sponsors. And when I learned that once you finish those 70 questions, which I like to call HOW boot camp, then you sponsor. So I really took my time in those questions. But now that I sponsor, it's definitely, you know, the highlight of my program. I have 6 phone calls minimum a day. I call my sponsor, I have 2 sponsees, and then my 3 hookup calls and others. So I feel like I'm literally on the phone all day. But now that I am home, I definitely have time to do that. So let's see what else. So sponsorship. My sponsor and I talk at a committed time every single day. I'm on time, make my call. And it really has, they say we grew up in this program, and I really feel like I am constantly because I call her on time. I have an alarm to tell me to call her and then alarm to tell me to call her in 1 minute. I'm prepared with my assignment. I do my gratitudes, my reading, my writing, my nightly review. And then we talk about whatever else is going on or I need guidance for. And she told me in the beginning, she shines the light. I do the digging. When I was in OA and my sponsor went on vacation, so did I. We just didn't talk for 2 weeks. And then when I came to HOW, it was a little bit different. And we talk every day. And I've come to really respect that time and enjoy it. And I'm able to give back to my sponsees what she's shared with me. And we don't have to have all the answers in the program. That's the beautiful lineage of this program is if I don't know the answer, I just call my sponsor or other people who are also sponsors. It's kind of a web here and we all lift each other up. But now when my OA HOW sponsor goes on vacation, I don't get a break. I still have to find a temp sponsor. And that's what I love about this program. Someone can always pick you up right where you're at and carry you along. So from temp sponsoring someone, taking food changes, helping with a food mistake, it's really a beautiful web of people from all over the country doing it together that support each other one day at a time. So in summary, I thought sponsoring was going to be overwhelming and difficult, and it's actually one of the best highlights of my program. And that's what I got. Thank you. Pass.
Thanks, Kelly.
Hi. Will all sponsors, HOW and OA, please join me in sharing the following. How long in OA and HOW? how long abstinent in OA or how, and how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief. No applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone number. Sponsors are invited to share by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera or just turning on your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and see a you are unmuted by the host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors, join us on the phone, please. Joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press star and six on your phone keypad.
Oh, hi, this is Mary G., compulsive overeater. Came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to Minnesota in 2012 in October. My first meeting was Halloween. I became absent the next day and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
This is Megan. Hi, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm an OA House sponsor and a compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 pounds to 90 pounds in program twice. I'm a relapse survivor and I've had an abstinent pregnancy. Thank you, I pass.
Roberta.
Yeah, my name is Roberta. I am a compulsive overeater. I first went to two meetings of Overeaters Anonymous in 1990, didn't return to until this fellow to OA until December of 2008. January 1st of 2009 is sugar abstinence. I am a little bit more than 2 years of back-to-back abstinence in OA How, and I've been keeping 65 pounds off for 10 years, and I'm off my blood pressure medication. Pass.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I came into regular OA in 2011, I believe, and had some sketchy abstinence in that program. And actually, I had it 2 years at one point, but couldn't keep it together until I found how September 19th of 2019. So I actually just turned 6 months, like a few days ago, really. I am a sponsor now in the HAL program, and I have lost 14 pounds. And with that, I'll pass.
Peg.
Hi, my name's Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came to OA in 1987. I'm returning to OA from a 2.5 year relapse, and I'm down 31 pounds from my time returning. My abstinence date is June 3rd, 2019. Pass.
Sheila. Go ahead, Sheila.
Hi, this is Sheila, a compulsive overeater. I came directly to HAL in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Julie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Julie B.
Try another Julie.
Hi there, I'm Julie B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I started HAL June 16th, 2013. My renewed abstinent date is January 23rd, 2020, and I've been relieved of around 50 pounds.
Debbie.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started work in the HAL concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I'm down over 100 pounds, and I pass.
Christy.
Hi, it's Christy, compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. I came to OA in 1994. I've been following the How concept since September 9th of 2001. I've been maintaining the 130 pounds I lost in How for 17 years, and I am 170 pounds from my top weight. I pass.
EBF.
I'm Abby, compulsive eater. Grateful to be here in Maryland, from Maryland. I came to OA in the late 80s. I was in How in the 90s. I left OA in the noughts, and I've been back to OA and then OA House, and for 5.5 years. My current abstinence dates to January 20th of last year. I've been 80 pounds heavier and 10 or so pounds less, and thank you.
Tamara. Can't hear you.
This is Tamara. I'm compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. I heard about the How program and became abstinent April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the How program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Sue.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sue L., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to OA How on December 8th of 2002. I got abstinent 2 days later on the 10th, which is my abstinence date, 2002. I've been relieved of 130 pounds.
Jody.
Hi, I'm Jody M., a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I've been in the rooms of How. I came to the rooms of How in November 2009. My current abstinence date is November 10th, 2019, and I've been relieved of over 100 pounds. Pass.
Revital. Can't hear you.
Here we go. Good evening. I am a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. My name is Revy Tal, and I was introduced to OA in 2004, walked into the two-hour OA How rooms in May of 2017, where I became abstinent on May 23rd of 2017. By the grace of God and the power of this program, my body has released over 100 pounds, and there was a brief period of time where I actually doubted my abstinence, but with much encouragement from several fellows, I am gratefully abstinent and continue to sponsor. Thanks for letting me share today.
Lewis.
Yes, I'm powerless over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland, and I'm an OA How 2-hour sponsor. My back-to-back abstinent state is January 3rd of last year, and I've lost 80 pounds from my top weight and How. I also have a spot for a sponsee 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and my number is 703-789-3788. That's 703-789-3788. Thank you.
Rosemary.
Hello, this is Rosemary from Minnesota. I came into the rooms of How kicking and screaming in April of 2005. My current abstinence date is February 25th of last year. I've been relieved of 75 pounds and been maintaining that for the last 9 or 10 years. And I'm grateful for this program and especially for this opportunity to be together. Pass.
Erlinda,
calling in from Chicago. I'm a 2-hour OA sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11th of 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds by the grace of God. Thank you, and I pass.
My name is Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater on the phone from Huntsville, Alabama. First came to OA in February of 94. I've had long periods of abstinence with many relapses. Got into OA How in 2010 for 2 years. Worked so well, I stopped doing it. Came back July 13th, 2019 in the Twin Cities. I'm coming up on 9 months of abstinence. I'm down 62 pounds from my top weight. I am now 13 pounds away from goal weight. I'm available to sponsor. My name is Chris. The number is 504-352-2044. That's 504-352-2044. Thank you.
Carrie.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. I came directly into the rooms of How on September 21st of last year. I just had my 6 month anniversary and I am down 39 pounds from my top weight and I've lost 30 of that in How.
I'm Valerie. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm from Minneapolis. I came directly into How, and I am coming up on 4 years. Let's see, May 26th of 2016. Down about at 25, up about 25.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melanie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Oregon. I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous in the fall of 1989, and 17 years later, I found abstinence and How and freedom from the food obsession. I'm just shy of 15 years of entire absence. That was happening in November 2005, but I have an anniversary date in How of November 5th, 2018, maintaining over a 165-pound weight loss for about 14 and a half years.
Chris?
That concludes everyone on the phone and on the video. Is that correct?
I think so.
How about you, Howard?
We're good.
Okay. Hi, my name is Chris Kay. I'm from Minnesota. Came to OA back about 1990, came to OA How. At the end of May 2014, my absence date is June 20th of 2014, and I'm maintaining a 150-pound weight loss. Thank you. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, he or she will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or How, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity?
I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sue. Welcome. Oh, hi, guys. So
I have anonymity. I'm going to read the second reading for those of you following along. It starts with, anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing. We are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
And I wanted to read, you guys, because this really, maybe like 5 years ago, I really got in touch with honesty. I had another strong peel layer of the onion around honesty. And it's tied to anonymity, especially when you read the long form of Tradition 12. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. This is to the end that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. And for me, I wrote this out because I wanted to, you know, I had a horrible time with gossip, even when I was years into the program. And I think it came from wanting to pump up my story. I wanted others to know who I hung out with because I thought people would think better of me. And this is the exact opposite of humility. Today, I treat and guard anonymity with my life. I take it very seriously. I try to respect everyone's anonymity as much as I value my own. I'm very careful and consider honesty to be tied into anonymity. Today, I ask myself, what is my purpose to say something? Is it to make myself look better? Is it to have people like me more? And interestingly enough, it has helped me with my own self-esteem and confidence. I'm enough. My story is enough. I don't need to embellish. I don't need to do something that would hurt others. I don't need to make things better. Honesty is really tied for me. And I had this epiphany maybe 5 years back around its connection. This has taken me many years and many mistakes and many consequences of hurting others before truly understanding the meaning of anonymity. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Sue.
Telephone calls.
Hi, my name's Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Peg. Hey,
Peg. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Hello.
Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, it's a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. And how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And I really can't think of a time ever that the telephone has been more our lifeline than it is during this period where many, many of us are in significant social distancing. Some of us are in lockdown states, some of us are in stay-to-yourself states. We've got all kinds of names for this need to protect everyone around us from a virus that has the potential to be deadly. And I just think about how far ahead of the curve we are because we have this program. I spent a lot of years in traditional OA, and that telephone weighed 1,000 pounds. And part of the reason it weighed so much was because when I dial out and someone would pick up at the other end, there was kind of a question in their voice, like, is there a reason you're calling me? It was like, it says the telephone's a, you know, the telephone is a tool. Well, now nobody says, is there a reason you're calling me? I immediately get, hi, oh, so good to hear from you. Great, how's your program? And so I made a commitment for myself because, you know, let's be honest. I had times where I thought, oh man, you know, there's a time when I had three sponsees and my sponsor and then three more hookups. And I was like, oh man, that is so many phone calls every day. So once I hit my three, and not all of them had the level of content that anyone deserves at the other end of the phone, I tend to quit picking up. And now I've decided during this time when we're all feeling some isolation that I will just keep picking up that phone. If it's call 14 for the day, well, then it's call 14 for the day. And it's just my small way of saying, whether you've been in this program for 15 minutes or 15 years, I'm willing to talk and that I'm doing it with you. That's what the telephone says. I'm doing it with you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Peg.
Thanks, Peg.
Thank you. Peg.
Meetings.
Hi, Powerless Over Food. My name is Lewis. Meetings.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Lewis.
Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As OA How members, we attend at least one How meeting a week. This is a really important tool for me because I am intense and I feel things and think things more intensely than I've found people outside of these rooms. So for me, given this emotional instability that I have, and I used to go to food to gain some stability, and that's what meetings provide, is a stable environment where I can experience the higher power through we. Plus, meetings give me an example of what true abstinent behavior is about. If I can sit and listen to people outside of OA, out there in the world, then I've come a long way spiritually. So I learn how to listen in here. I learn how to be a part of we. And I learn from you all as you share your experience, strength, and hope. All of this I get from meetings. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Literature and writing.
Hi, this is Christy, compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Christy. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome.
Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing, in addition to our writing, our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. I love that line where it says, in the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. I think that compulsive eating was the only reaction that I ever had to life. And I like what it says in this, in the foreword to the first edition of the Big Book. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And I have been reading and writing an assignment every single day from September 9th of 2001. And in the very beginning, you know, I was in what I heard someone else refer to as boot camp. So my sponsor, read what the question was that I was supposed to discuss and reflect on. And I did that. And I had no idea how any of this was going to help me, except that it had worked for my sponsor. So, it didn't make a lot of sense. I felt like I just kept reading the same things over and over again. You know, are you at step one? Are you at step one? Are you at step one? Yes, 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 I'm at step one. Are you at step two? It was just repeated every single day. And what I have found in my being in recovery for this amount of time is that those daily disciplines have saved me many, many times. If I can't figure something out in my head, and I can't figure it out by talking to other people, the best way for me to do that, to really figure out what's going on, is to write about it. You know, it always comes down to me, you know, having trouble with what's going on, you know, me not getting what I want, me being afraid that I'm going to lose something I have. Me reliving something in the past that I can't do anything to change. Me tripping about the future and what may or may not happen. And it is so helpful for me to just remember to stay present, to stay in the day. I have my sponsees do this, you know, to write about what's going on. You know, especially if I have someone like myself, you know, I'm all over the place. And if I can sit down and write it all out, it is just so much better for me to collect my thoughts and to be able to talk about it in a somewhat coherent way. You know, right now, I mean, like everybody else, trying to just live through this crisis. I mean, it's very grounding for me to write every day. I had accepted a job working in the Netherlands, and my wife and I were getting ready to move over there. And, you know, everything, of course, has been delayed right now. And so it's just really important for me to just keep my nose in the book, to keep, you know, keep on keeping on, to write about whatever character defects might come up, to write about my fear, and to do exactly what it says in the Big Book. You know, we've got, you know, the center part of the Big Book that tells me what to do on a daily basis from upon awakening to when I retire at night. You know, it encompasses the whole 24-hour period that I'm going to live in, which is all I've got. All I've got is today, and I am told exactly what I need to do for that day. Writing out my food. I mean, all of that, all of those kinds of things are guarantees for what my day is going to turn out like. I know exactly what I'm going to have for my snack. I might not know what's going to happen, but I know exactly what I'm going to have for my snack. I know exactly, you know, how I lived my day at the end of the day when I do my review. And I'm just so immensely grateful for this tool. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you. Service.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we can give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. When I first came into program, I wanted service to be a give and take. I wanted to give a little bit of service, and I wanted to take a lot of either praise or attention or credit for doing something. I expected pats on the back, and I was always hungry for that. And but through the program, I've learned that I'm not doing it so much to help myself in any way. I'm actually doing it to help the other person. It really changed my attitude when I realized that I was doing it for the benefit of a different person. And there wasn't many things I did in life that weren't for some benefit for me. I thought I deserved all kinds of benefits. But even giving a little bit, just the other day I was reminded of what condition I was like more than 4 years ago before I started the HOW program. I was in the grocery store, this is before all the scare, and I had come out to my car and had loaded my stuff into the car and sat down and looked at the car next to me to see a person very much like I was, very much eating an assortment of things in the dark parking lot, and just basically brought me back to exactly where I was not too long ago. And I realized, you know, I've come this far only because of the service other people have given me. The phone calls, the encouragement, we're always in it together, there for you, and doing it together, and all the slogans. But they're true, you know, they really, what people give without expecting anything in return is just amazing. And now during this time of great need, I know isolation, I can always gauge my day. If I'm having kind of a down day, it's probably because I haven't reached out to anyone. I haven't done service to anyone else, and I haven't done any outreach. And that tells me to get my butt going and get giving some service, expecting nothing in return, and doing it because it's helping the other person out as well as me. But that's always just a bonus. So thank you all. I'm very happy to have this meeting. It's definitely my high point of the week. To see you all here. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Hi. Will all people doing service for OA at any level, please stand and applaud service.
Yay!
Service! Minnesota OA HOW live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone's keypad.
This is Lewis, and this is my first time at this meeting. Perilous over fruit.
Hi, Lewis.
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Joe B, first time at this meeting.
Hi, Joe.
Welcome.
Hi, welcome.
This is Sandra OA HOW from OA. This is my first time at this OA HOW meeting.
Hi, Sandra. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank all of you for your service.
My name's Kim. This is my first OA HOW meeting.
Welcome, Kim. Glad you're here. Anyone else? May we have a treasurer's report?
Yes, this is Sheila, a compulsive overeater, and I am standing in for Heidi tonight, who is our treasurer. And so what she asked me to relay is that we have a balance of $1,029.70, and we need to keep a minimum balance in our account of $500. And then last week we had a group conscience meeting and we had agreed to send $20 to each of the following five organizations: to Unity Intergroup, to Region 4, to the Virtual Intergroup, to the Virtual Region, and then to World Service as well. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank
you. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurities will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Big Book, page 8384. Are there any announcements?
Hi, this is Megan. I have an announcement. I am one of the folks that looks for virtual speakers for this meeting. And since I have the opportunity and there's so many folks here tonight, if you are a sponsor and would be willing to share your story on this meeting, we have openings in April to fill and going out to May as well. My phone number is 757-375-3102. And you could call me. I'll also put my number in the chat. And we would love to have you share your experience, strength, and hope. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Any additional announcements, anyone? Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause.
Yeah.
Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. We'll start with anyone celebrating two or more years of abstinence tonight. How about 18 months? 1 year? 9 months? 6 months?
That's me. I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I have 6 months on the 19th of March.
Yay, Jane.
All right. Good job, Jane.
My name is Carrie, and I also have 6 months on the 21st.
Yay. Yeah, Carrie.
Okay. Good going.
Yay, Carrie.
Next, I believe, is 3 months or 90 days.
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. And on Saturday, the 21st, I had 90 days.
Yay!
Congratulations,
Kelly.
Congratulations, Kelly. Kelly, good job.
Thank you.
That was 2 months, 60 days.
This is Julie B. I have 2 months.
Julie.
All right.
Congratulations. 2 months would be 1 month, 30 days would
be. Hi, this is Alyssa, a compulsive overeater food addict from Seattle, and Friday was 30 days.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey,
congratulations, Alyssa.
Yeah. And last but not least is our chip of desire. It doesn't indicate that we've been abstinent for 24 hours. All it indicates is that we saw something, heard something, felt something tonight, and wanted to do something different. And I wish anyone here, especially the newcomers, for a virtual medallion, chip of desire medallion that basically says 24 hours. And congratulations, everyone. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that are about in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers. Remember to drink your water and the reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups?
Hi, my name is Kelly from Pennsylvania, and I am stepping up tonight. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations.
Kelly.
Kelly.
All right,
thanks,
Kelly.
Way to go.
Before you, you have five candles. Truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weigh-in and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step toward arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we could not be recovering compulsive overeaters. Candle one.
Hello, Kelly. Congratulations. This is the candle of truth. It is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfalls of self-deception. Kelly, congratulations.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you.
Congratulations, Kelly. This is the candle of reality, and it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds a promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes far beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sheila.
Congratulations, Kelly. Candle 3. This is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit into the scheme of things. Congratulations.
Thank you, Debbie.
Hi, Kelly. Congratulations. This is candle 4. This is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything, and now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God. Accept that only He can restore us to sanity. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, Kelly. Candle number 5. My honor. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear His pronouncement in our lives. We recognize what is that we can do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Welcome to the sponsor line. Congratulations, Cal.
Thank you, Cal. Thank you.
Even the newest of newcomers finds unreal, undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether his brother has yet received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning. And he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every AA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than in 12-step job well done. To watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassemble, to see the alcoholic outcast received back into its community and full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of which we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Good job, Kelly. Good job.
Love to everyone. Thank
Way
you.
To go. Way to go.
Anniversaries. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated each year of continuous abstinence, OA Group Handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries tonight?
Not tonight. Keep coming back.
Pretty soon.
The leader now qualifies. Do we need to cut that back? Maybe 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Yep. Okay. Hi, my name is Chris. Overeater.
Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. Welcome. Welcome.
This is kind of unnerving to see myself. I don't like watching myself. But the thing that's been on my mind lately is this whole idea of abstinence. And yes, we start with being abstinent from the food. But so much more difficult than the abstinence from the food, I'm finding, is for me, the abstinence from negative thinking. I've had my mind for so many years set in some tight worlds, you know, and the tight loops that are in my mind, that once I get on that track and rev up that engine to start that pace around and around and around, that one thought leads to another thought, leads to another thought, and they're all negative thoughts that build on each other, is, you know, abstinence from that negative thinking for me has been so much harder, so much more elusive than, you know, putting it in the cup. You know, can't they give me cups for negative thinking that I can only have so much, and then when it's full, I level it off, and that's all I can have for negative, you know, for the whole day. But, you know, someone recently reminded me when I was having a difficult day, I called them, and they reminded me that this program, you know, being it's a daily program, that we only have a daily reprieve. And we think, you know, to think about that, it's just like each and every day we start fresh each day. You know, early on, I was reminded that from my sponsor when I was temp sponsoring somebody and they were having the exact same meal for like 5 days straight. And I said, oh, you might as well just, you know, commit all 5 days all at once because it's all the same. And my sponsor's like, no, we do not do that. We do this one day at a time, so that, you know, your sponsee needs to commit each and every day, one day at a time. It doesn't matter if today, tomorrow, you're going to eat the exact same thing as you're going to eat today. You need to commit that because it's a separate day. It's one day at a time. And then to have somebody else remind me that, you know, the, you know, your obsession with food is lifted for one day, as is our negativity, or my negative thinking. And, you know, it's just like, you know, so I wake up every day, it's just like, yeah, yesterday wasn't such a great day. I had some negative thinking here or there, and it started on this downward spiral. And the things that I do to myself that I've learned over time, the, you know, calling myself names and stuff, it's like, you know, I'm the one that caused most of my own suffering. It wasn't from outside. You know, I was blaming everyone else for causing my negative thinking. But it was me that looked for and chose that negative thinking and then fed that negative thinking and kept it alive in my head. And that's the hell that this program gives me, you know, the chance each and every day when I wake up to get on my knees and thank you, thank you, thank you for another chance to do another day, you know, this one day at a time that I can hope to do better today, to hope to have some reprieve from that, you know, that abstain from negative thinking for me is huge. And I have no idea what the time is here at this point. At this point, I think I'm going to pass. And again, my name is Chris. I am a compulsive overeater. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
I would like to introduce now our speaker, Val, who qualifies for 20 minutes. Hi, Val.
Hi.
Hi, Val. Welcome.
Hi, Val. Welcome.
Hi, Val.
Hello. Hi, folks and folks that I know. I'm Valerie. I'm a compulsive eater. And I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my husband's wrapping up dinner right now for the kids. And I've never spoken in front of him in hell. So I'm like, skedaddle. But I'll just do some general housekeeping. I always call it house cleaning. Maybe that's because I'm doing a lot of cleaning right now. So I came directly to hell on May 26th of 2016, 2 days after my son's birthday. I had never been in any sort of food program before. I had never really even been on, I guess what you'd call it, diet. But what I did know is that I was not like normal people. I did know that I didn't have a normal relationship with food. I did not have a normal relationship with my body. I don't want to use the word struggled, but there was a lot of things that I did not have in common with a lot of you. And it, you know, at first it was a way for me to, and sometimes now, to be different instead of to be included, to belong. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit about that. So as far, and how many minutes do I have? Is it 20?
20.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Howard. And so, I'm happy to be dressed and have some makeup on. That is not the norm right now. I'm here working from home with my husband and my two children. And, it's just a really, really stressful, weird, bizarre time. I feel like I'm in an alternate universe. I wake up and I don't know where I am, but, so I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada, and, I lived there until I was 18, and then I went away to college in Southern California. My dad was not around. He had alcoholism, and I had two siblings, and I was the youngest. I don't remember a whole lot about my childhood growing up, and all the way until I came, probably was like, until I started putting on weight as an older adult. Ever like restricting or like intent, like overeating. I was very, very thin. And so I got a lot of people calling me names. You know, just my mom had to like sew my clothes. I remember like, you know, 10 slim, if you know, kids' clothes, they have the slim, like those were never slim enough for me. And so my mom would, there'd always be like the knot on the back, you know, cause she wasn't like super good at sewing. And, I was, like I said, so very thin, and awkward in those years. I mean, I do remember that like in my family, sugar would be, My brother was like, you know, he'd just clear anything that was like sodas. If my mom went to those little day old bakeries, and he would just clear all that kind of stuff. So I do remember there was like, my mom had to, like, we like would have markers and label like, okay, you get 6 sodas or you get 10 of these. And I remember when I started acting out in different ways, one of the things that I would do was like, shoplift when I was in maybe like fifth grade, and I had like a jacket and there'd be a hole in the pocket. And yes, we do wear jackets in Las Vegas when it's like really cold at like 50 degrees, which is funny because it's like 60 degree colder where I live now. And I would put like bubble gum and treats and candy all around the back of the, in the lining of the jacket, and pass them out on the bus or give them away. And so like, I knew, you know, I don't know how, I wasn't like super, super into it. I know I really loved like my Slurpees, and you know, those are like, I know there's another word for them, slushies. I knew there was something to the sugar thing. I think I probably took comfort in it, and I knew that other people really wanted it, and that, you know, I wasn't kind of buying friendship through it, or just kind of being like the cool kid being able to hand out free candy. I don't know what that was all about. I went through college. I could literally eat as much as I want, whenever I wanted. You know, that whole freshman 15 where you gain weight, like I'd go into the cafeteria and my tray would just be full, with everything. Are we allowed to talk about food in this meeting, Howard, like the food types or whatever?
Sure.
Okay, some meetings don't like that, but I mean, I would just load up, you know, like just load up like your pizza, hamburger, fries, and ranch dressing, just on everything. And, you know, I just was really thin still. I think after I had my son, a year and a half after that is when And it wasn't like, it wasn't the baby weight, because it was like well after that. But there's like that point in my story between the ages of like 23 and 27 when, you know, I was an alcoholic and an addict. Well, I was an alcoholic and an addict active between like 15 and 27. Started smoking weed when I was like in junior high, and I smoked weed every day for years. And then my alcoholism, and that led to heroin addiction. And so I had been in Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time when I came to Howe. I had been since 1996, very active in that program, and had experienced addiction at startlingly low demoralization. I was dying of alcoholism, and you know, I had multiple incarcerations. I was homeless. During those periods, I didn't bathe. I didn't eat. I slept outside. I passed out. Just a really tough life there, and got sober, like I said, when I was 27. As some of you know, the 27 Club is when a lot of like rock stars die, and that was when I was reborn or transformed, for better word, like Jimi Hendrix, and I don't know, just a ton, Jim Morrison, even like Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain. Anyway, I was happy to be a part of that 27 Club. But then when I had my son, that would have been in 2010. So I don't know, I was 42 where the weight started creeping on. And I had always had like an obsession with food, just like trying to eat the right amounts and, you know, trying to kind of, but I didn't have to worry about the, like, looking, you know, not fitting into my clothes and not liking the way my body looked. I was just really fortunate genetically, but, you know, metabolism caught up with me. And a year and a half into him being born, like, I would see pictures of myself, and I didn't have a lot of weight. I mean, it was like 20, you know, maybe 20 pounds more than my current range. But my range is, you know, 25 down from my bottom because of like when I was out on the streets, and then 25 up from my top. And I was total vanity. And so I would obsess and shame myself. And I really, I could really identify when I came to Howe with the mental chatter. But what happened is, with my involvement in 12 step, I had some very close people in my life that were members of Howe, and we go on spiritual retreats once a year. And so they'd be in the kitchen weighing and measuring, making these like really colorful, delicious meals. And a lot of what I had eaten and which was causing me the weight gain wasn't sugar. You know, I wasn't like the person who ate the whole pie, or the person who, you know, snuck in, like you're talking about, in the parking lot. I was more the person who like really loved avocados and put lots of cream in my coffee and just a lot of fats, you know. And my binge food was actually peanut butter. It's kind of funny and embarrassing, but, you know, I'd go to the store and I'm a person that stocks up anyway, but I'd stock up like six jars. And I mean, I could go through a jar in 2-3 days. So, I mean, I was like, oh, but I'll eat less tomorrow. And, you know, it started having a familiar feeling. You know, there's a song from like the late 80s, early 90s, I'm gonna kick tomorrow. And I mean, it was like, I'm gonna kick tomorrow. And it's like, I know some of you probably know that song, but it was like, I'm gonna do better tomorrow. I'm gonna work out. I'm not gonna eat my husband's French fries, you know, cause those are the problem, and the peanut butter is the problem. And so I saw these friends cooking, and I started like asking questions. And of course I was obsessed with food, so I asked them a lot of questions, and you know, I could kind of see they were like looking at me like, yeah, well, she might be one of us. Well, we'll just, you know, save a seat for you, sister. And so over time, I started going to Howe, but well, I went once, but then I started weighing and measuring, and I lost almost all the weight. Like I lost like 15 pounds. The weight fell off. I was able to do it on my own. I don't know. I can't remember if like I ate out once in a while, but I must have, but I was really good about weight. So I was like, wow, I found a solution. But you guys know how that ended. it started creeping back on, and the mental chatter. And, you know, I had foggy, there was times where I would like think like, man, I just wish I could vomit. I wish I could just vomit this up. You know, I wished I wouldn't debate that. And I didn't, you know, again, it was like, man, this is a familiar feeling, you know, like that. I was writing about the terms lurking notion. The lurking notion in the big book talks about like that you have a lurking notion that you might not be an addict or an alcoholic, whatever. Well, I had a lurking notion that something, you know, this is not right. Like, and so, you know, I decided to go to a meeting. I went to the Tuesday morning HOW meeting here in Minneapolis. And I didn't want to sit for 2 hours. I mean, I have ADHD. So hard for me to sit still. Everyone knows that about me. And I went to that meeting and I'd sit in the back couple of rows. And, you know, I'd arrive for the last hour. I really enjoyed the speakers, but, you know, I kept going. I think maybe like five times in like 2 or 3 months, I remember. But then I started calling people, and like people that I knew from the other program or people that I just sort of started talking to would see me coming back and reaching out to me. And I can't remember if this woman had reached out to me or I called her, but I was talking to her. I was like, man, I don't know. Like I've weighed and measured before, but you guys are just, this is just so intense. I don't know if I can commit to it. Like, it's just, she's actually on this call. And she's like, oh, well, you know, it's really, I don't know if she said it's just a one day at a time program or one meal at a time, or like, I don't know, Valerie, why don't you grab a piece of paper and we can like write down your next meal. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, whoa, man, I just overcorrected there. Like, back off, you know. But I did end up starting HOW like that day. That was May 26th. It's just, that's all it took for me. And so it's been like a really wild ride. You know, it's funny, the things that people will say that see me weighing and measuring, mostly family members, but other people, you know, and their opinions and attitudes about it, because, you know, there's been different phases and factors in the way that I'm eating through the time that I've been in HOW. And if you're new, you know, it is like one meal at a time. And it is a really difficult program. Like, it's very, I'm not going to lie, like, it's really difficult to get started, especially if you're like a really busy person. You know, if you have children, or you go, you know, your spouse loves to go out to eat a lot, you know, those kind of things, traveling, those are really difficult. For me, it wasn't so much the actual meal plan or even the amount of food. Well, I would say the amount of food at first, because it was like so minimal, like of the amount of fat that I could eat. And that was really, really hard for me. But it's funny because I don't remember eating a lot of fruit, you know, back before I came into HOW. Like, I didn't really eat that much fruit. I think I was like, well, that's sugar, I'm going to save that, you know, I don't know. And so that was delightful for me. So the pros and the cons, I mean, the cons like was like my kitchen was like insane. I mean, I was like, I had measuring cups, I had teaspoons, I had a scale, you know, I had this plate for that and the bowl and the thing. And, you know, I just learned to really simplify that. And, you know, we can help you simplify that. I just use a digital scale now, even for my fats, even when it's 5 grams, it's just so much easier for me. You know, I have a friend, she's like, every meal does not have to be a 10, you know, because of course I want every meal to be a 10. Like, so I've gotten into a routine where my breakfast is the same. It's been the same for years. I mean, I love my breakfast. It's not like I don't have other things sometimes. Like, if I run out of protein powder, yeah, I'll have some cheese and an egg or something. But, and I love my snack, you know, like fresh berries and like toasted oats and nuts, and forget about it. It's like so good. So I enjoy my food. I think I can taste it better. I think, but more so, and this is the part that's hard for people to understand, is like the freedom. It's like, it's really hard for other people to understand, or I say other, mostly people who probably have a problem with food or their bodies, saying things to me like over and over through the year. It's like, well, how long are you going to do that diet? And I'm like, how long are you going to do that diet? Well, how much weight are you trying to lose? And I mean, lately in the last year, because I've had some thyroid stuff, like I've flipped that whole stuff on its head, because I'll just, you know, be like, I'm not trying to actually lose weight. I'm trying to keep it on. And that is just like so earth shattering to them, trying to keep weight on. What an order, you know, but that's what happens, you know, with my metabolism, when I'm eating what I'm supposed to eat and giving my body what it needs, and I'm active, and you know, the stress of life doesn't help, like probably eating away at my calories or whatever there. But I, you know, I've had to like change my meal plan a lot. I've had to add a lot of stuff to keep on the weight. I guess some people would think that that would be really nice, like that would be a luxury to eat more. And it is nice, but it's also scary, you know, like that my body is like shriveling because of thyroid. So I've been happy to be in my goal weight. I enjoy gaining that weight and having my clothes fit me again and not being smaller than I need to be or bigger than I need to be and not thinking about it. You know, I've had solid sponsorship. I've had at first a lot of different sponsors. My sponsor, I see you there, is actually on this call, and or she was at the beginning. And, you know, we've just kind of worked it out to a system, what works for us. And I sponsor a woman, and we've worked out a system of what's works for us. You know, everybody's different. Everybody does how different. Some people accept, you know, text changes, for example. Not to be controversial, I mean, that's been discussed in our business meeting. For me, sometimes I'm on work calls and I gotta eat. I can't wait until like that screening call and then that call and that call ends. Like, I need to like, hey, you know, my avocado is rotten. I need to switch it up. So, you know, there's just a lot that I loved coming in. I'll tell you the reason I loved coming into this program, the reason I loved coming to the meetings, even though they were long, was that's really hard for me still, is the love and the passion for the AA literature and the OA literature, the respect and honoring, you know, the founders of this 12-step program and the early folks. I mean, I just love that stuff. I don't know if any of you've ever been to, I believe it's Stepping Stones in New York. We made a trip there for another reason to the New Jersey, New York area about a year ago, April. And I mean, it's like amazing. I love the history. I sat at the table, the kitchen table where Ebby sat with Bill. I sat at Bill W's desk, where, by the way, he, I don't know if he was under the desk with depression, but through like the first 11 years of his recovery, he was like different levels of depressed. And like, I need to hear that, you know, I don't need to hear about how everybody's life is going super great all the time. Like, I like love to hear that too, because this program is about, you know, transformation, and it's about redemption, and not in any sort of biblical or religious way. It's about redeeming myself to a lot of the past harms I've caused others. Sometimes it might not be that specific person, but I can, you know, I guess make it up. That's not really a good term to say, make it up. It's not as if I, you know, owe them. But I have 1 minute left, and what do I want to say? You know, I just, it's startling, you know, when you hear things, and I heard like that, like what, like, is it something like 1 in 4 American, no, it was more than that, just the obesity, you know, and the overweight, and that doesn't even account for the people like me that weren't, that were struggling, you know. I was not someone that anybody would ever describe as overweight. Like, I was maybe curvy, like I still looked all right. But this is like an inside job. This is not about how I look on the outside. And I get a ton of freedom by just eating what my body wants and somebody else telling me. And I have friends that think it's crazy that I have to call and make a food change. Even my mom was mimicking me in the car the other day because she ate some of my food and she heard me, "Oh, you have to call. Oh, can I have this carrot? Can I?" You know, she was mimicking me, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm happy with who I am and where I am. And I'm proud to be a member of HAL. And if I decide that HAL is too much for me, I can gladly just stop coming. It's not like I'm in prison. I can go to inaction, or I can go to traditional, or I can just do nothing. But just for today, I'm going to stick around. And so thanks for hearing.
Thanks, Valerie. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
It's now 8:55, and that's the time that pitches can go until, so we have no time for pitches tonight. So with that, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting tonight. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Val, who offered so much of herself. Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Val. Thank you, Chris.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today?
Oh. Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Hello. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anybody knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I do not want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable, will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not be able to follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all to myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid, especially will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world gives to me. Thanks for letting me serve.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Yay, thank you, interpreters.
Closing statement. To those who are still new to this program, we remind you that all that was said here tonight should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join us to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering.
God, the serenity, the things I cannot change, the wisdom to know the difference.
I will,
amen.
Keep coming back.
It works when you work it.
Work it.
Give a lot of love.
A lot of love.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you,
Valerie. Thank you, Valerie.
Good coming.
Bye, Howard.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Sue.
Bye, all. Bye.
Thank you, Chris, for leading.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks,
all those people hoarding food.
Yeah. Maybe thanks, Valerie. Thanks, Valerie.
Hoarding vegetables. I'm hoarding beets.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
And oatmeal. Bye, all.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Stay safe.